the two subcommittees of the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature, the Subcommittee on Management and Subcommittee on Human Resources.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, welcome. And Chair Latimer plans to attend probably in the next half hour to 40 minutes. He had an appointment earlier this morning. On this joint agenda today, you have a number of issues. First of all, your discussion with Dave Frohmeyer brought up at our first commission meeting, and also Susan Gleason's comments about the 21st century legislature. And then you have 3 hours scheduled for testimony from a number of offices in the legislative branch regarding their HR practices and the staff in their offices. In your packet, on your desk, or either in your notebooks, is a stack of responses from each of those offices regarding staffing, and I know that those offices will be here to respond to questions.
And explain when is a little that? Bit more.
Excuse me?
When is that?
It starts at 9.
Ish. When they come in.
Yes.
So with that, we're going to spend the first hour or so, I think, in your packet in front of you is President Frohmeyer was so kind as to encapsulate his 7 points. And I think the co-chairs are hoping that we will spend this first period of time kind of giving feedback on this and also on Judge Leeson's comments on the 21st century legislature, and also I guess I would throw in what do you think the priorities of the commission should be? So if we could maybe just go through one by one. Does that work for folks?
Would say that again, thank you.
I think what the co-chairs, co-chair Wilhelms and Pryor, are looking for is some feedback on the 7 points, Judge Leeson's comments on the 21st century legislature, and really what you think the priorities of the commission should be. And I think they wanted each subcommittee to take a little time to kind of chew on that. Does that answer your question?
Thinking about that, it seems to me that was the thing that a lot of people talked about, focusing a lot on. And so I would hope we can spend a lot of time talking about it.
Well, let's see where the conversation goes. Marjorie, were you?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I would agree. So I think Chair Seeley had an idea of just starting to share your comments, and we can kind of summarize at the end where you want to go from here.
Would you like to kick off?
Madam Chair, I don't think so.
Okay.
I think I'd like to, I've got a lot of stuff stacked up in front of me. I'm having a hard time looking at it and thinking about it, and I'd rather not start off.
Okay.
But I do hope that we can run proposals by Justice Leeson's question of what does a 20th century legislature, 21st century legislature look like, and what and whether those proposals will do anything to affect the list of 7 things on President Frohmeyer.
And I would certainly, not confine yourselves to the 7 points, although they are great. But obviously, I think the chairs want to hear any and everything from you all in terms of what you think are priorities. And so I hear I have a Commissioner Barrows.
I've been in this building 50 years, 46 of it as a lobbyist, and I've seen, obviously, a ton of changes. In that period, the way the process worked, the way the members deal with each other. And I want to One of the things I put on my list when I was asked to submit by Marjorie was, in effect, some discussion about item number four on in Dave Frohnmayer's list. That's the partisanship. And there's also been a lot of discussion about this legislature is becoming more focused on and driven by its caucuses, and that the leadership thereby plays a greater role maybe than it should. That's obviously a policy question, certainly more than it used to. Articles about the as I call them, the Magnificent Seven, that made essentially all the policy decisions at the end of the session, not just budgetary, but all of them. I think that's a misuse of power, but I also think it's a failure to use very high quality people who are in the legislature who really didn't have much to say in this last session. And one of the reasons I think that occurs is, and it was one of the things I put on my list, is that, frankly, the people in the leadership and all don't know each other. It used to be they sat next to each other on the floor because that's where their offices were. And they now are in the wings. They have staff. Why don't you have your scheduler talk to my scheduler and see if we can find 15 minutes on Thursday kind of conversations. But they don't know each other as people. And I don't know quite how to do it. I had one suggestion that's already been sort of poo-pooed by one member of the commission as being impractical. But somehow we have got to set up an apparatus where the leadership gets to know each other. And my thought is this, and I haven't even put it down on a piece of paper. It's hard to hate somebody when you know their story. Hard to dislike somebody when you know their story. Hard to be non-empathetic with somebody when you know their story. The problem is that the leadership doesn't know other people's stories. And so they're just the caucus leader of the other caucus and are sort of dismissed. I think that's one of the real, real difficult to deal with, but important to deal with issues facing this session. Two more things, and then I'll end my comments. Number one, I do think we have to do something about staffing, pay for staffs, and pay for members. We eliminate a lot of people from the process just by virtue of the fact that they can't afford to do it. They either have to have somebody else, their significant other, spouse, whatever, supporting them, or they have to be retired, or they have to be people who can live on $1,400 a month. And somehow I think we need to speak to that. And then the final thing, and I think a critically important one, there was an op-ed piece in the Oregonian recently about this that I think had value, and that is it was in the Lake Oswego Review. It was Representative Greg McPherson opined on this on the same subject I had already sent to Marjorie, and that is we need to ask the people of the state of Oregon to put a closure date on the legislative session, either whether it's an annual session or a biennial session. I don't much care. I have an opinion, but that's not the point. However often they meet in regular session or special session, there ought to be some fairly hard closure date. Not totally inflexible, but fairly hard. Not easily dismissed or forgotten. So I think those are the three kind of those are my three kind of critical pieces in the structural side of this thing. That somehow and the, I guess the closing date and the pay thing are fairly easy to deal with. The first one about how you get them to know each other better is more difficult, but it's, I think, equally important.
Let me go to Commissioner Bernstein. And
then. Yeah, Madam Chair, some people in academia say that once you know somebody's story, you dislike them even more. But I guess the real challenge, for me, one of the questions is, to what extent are we trying to alter human behavior? And to a certain extent, I think some of the things that you're talking about go to that. Or are we trying to deal with some, you know, more of the mechanics of, you know, how the legislature operates? And I think there's a frustration because there's an underlying perception or maybe reality that a lot of what's wrong is relates to human behavior. And I think we'll be flailing around trying to deal with how do we change that without really talking about, you know, that as you know, a real question. And some of the, you know, the 7 points that really go to, you know, the perception, and then, you know, at some point perception becomes reality that that a lot of what's troublesome relates to how people interact with each other, what they disagree over, that, you know, people are now disagreeing over things that they, you know, in terms of government that they never were not even issues that government addressed, and, you know, how do you deal with that whole initiative system, and the role that you know, that plays. You know, if we're going to go to a full-time legislature, are we mm-hmm. still going to refer everything to the ballot and have the, you know, public kind of be the legislature? You know, I think those are questions that we also have to deal with as well.
Thank you. Commissioner Bronner.
Dave's comment about the leadership, that is a human behavior thing and sort of their option, but the leadership in the past has spent a lot of time with each other, and I remember when their offices were on the floor, they not only saw each other and could shake hands across the aisle and so forth, but they could listen to each other as they talked to other to constituents. I mean, there was no secrets when their offices were right on the floor. So we could do away with the wings, and then we could... but I think Dave has a point, and I think there is a way to suggest that the center office be included with the leadership in a formal kind of setting where they would get together on a weekly basis. I think there's a way to do that. I'm very concerned that we have time as we go through this to deal with what I consider to be a priority issue, and that's the discussion of annual sessions. There are annual sessions, and then there are annual sessions, and you can go to every state. Some start in March, some start in July, some start in September. We don't have to start ours in January, and there's a reason not to start it. You've got some budgetary things that, and you could let more time lapse after the election so that people could be better prepared. But I don't. We need to thoroughly have that discussion. We need to talk about the timing. And Dave talks about closure date. I'm talking about the opening date, and both of them need to be satisfactory for the electorate because it's a constitutional change that I would propose. The another thing about the annual session is how you limit the scope of the next of the fiscal session, and there are ways that several states have developed to do that, but they do allow an override by I think it's 2/3 or maybe it's 3/4 of the legislature can override for an emergency situation. And I would do, if I was writing this myself, if we're going to have annual sessions, then we don't have an emergency board. We don't have a need for an emergency board. And that in itself, in my opinion, as an observer, I haven't been here as long as Dave, but almost, but I'm older and wiser.
That's true.
The emergency board appointments towards the end of the session are the most political thing that happens in this building. Got to get appointed. Got to be on the emergency board. And people, and there are votes that are taken, and there are things that happen in the final days of the session that only the emergency board campaign leads us to. So, and why do you need an emergency board if you're going to have annual sessions? Anyway, I'd like to talk about it, at least, and have that kind of discussion. And there is no question that pay has got to be a part of this. There are some other small pieces that need to be talked about. Yes, I still believe that laptops belong in this building. They belong at this table. They belong on the floor. And I believe that that's something that we ought to be talking about. That's not the biggie. That doesn't burn the barn. But health. And pay is, we used to say that we'd like to be like California. And in those days, I don't know what it is now, but they were paying their legislators $100,000 a year. And that's been a number of years ago. And they got a brand new car of their choice. They got an office in their district, and they got an office, of course, fully staffed in the Capitol 12 months out of the year. My recommendation on that is $100,000 is not too much, so long as we subtract $1,000 for every bill that's introduced by that person. Senator, I'm just kidding.
No problem here.
I do think that it's not just the pay. It's not just the $1,400. We need to talk about the staff, and we also need to talk about how future pay raises can be accomplished by the body. Do we have to have a commission come together every time we need a pay raise for our legislators? I don't think so.
Thank you. Commissioner Senator Morse, and then Mr.
Thank you. Well, I haven't been around this process as long as some of you have, but I do have some perceptions. Dr. Bernstein was talking about, are we changing human behavior or are we changing the mechanics, I think. To make a rather poor analogy, if you're going to create something, you have to have a plan. And out of that plan, you have a process. If you're going to build a building, you design it, and then you build to the design. You actually construct it based on a plan. My perception of this legislative process is we do not have sideboards, or we don't have a prescriptive plan for executions. And it revolves principally, this whole process, the last session, the session before that, principally was driven by budgetary issues, not policy issues, but by fiscal issues. And we do not have a process or a plan or sideboards to a thoughtful budgeting process in this building, in my opinion. And if we can define the process, a process that works, the political issues will always be there, but they will be of less magnitude than they have been. We had sheer chaos, in my opinion, in the session before last and in this session. And to me, we need to focus on defining the process that we want, and then I think the political side will always be there, but it will be less magnified.
Can I just add it? That's my whole support for annual sections, is to get to a process where the budgeting process continues for the two-year period, and that you have time to deal with it. That second section would be limited only to fiscal matters. In other words, that's part of the plan.
Thank you. Commissioner Martin.
I woke up in the middle of the night, which I don't know what that says, but it's a problem. Thinking about this problem. So I wrote, made some notes that I'd like to go over with you because it would be helpful to be able to look at something while I'm talking about this, I think. I also had a meeting this last week with a Linda Madrell, who's a county commissioner from Benton County, and she's also on the some kind of committee of counties. And they're preparing a bunch of recommendations for the commission. She gave me a preview of what some of those would be and talked about some of the problems she sees in dealing with the legislature or impact of the legislature from a county commissioner standpoint. And based on some of the stuff that happened last meeting, I wrote down some notes, and I'm making a suggestion in these notes that's a different approach than what I think we're currently taking, and I'll explain why. So first I wrote a problem statement, which I think is really important that we have agreement about what problem we're trying to solve. And the way I'm characterizing the problem is that the legislature is not effective at creating a system-level solution. And what I'm talking about system-level solutions are that's optimizing complex interactive priorities or needs in a limited constrained environment. We have less money than we want by people with differing points of view. And I don't think the legislature, I mean, that's a, in a lot of walks of life, being able to do that, and it shows up in business, it shows up in government, it shows up in education, this challenge. How do you get a collaborative process to actually work? And I stated this problem another way. The Oregon legislature is not effective at collaborating on behalf of all Oregonians, which I think you would agree to. And then here's some contributing conditions, some of which are reflected in the seven points from Dave Frohnmayer. So the bipartisanship, this shared purpose, is insufficient to establish a common ground between perceived party demands. And that's a real problem. And you have what's called the tragedy of the commons. Everybody familiar with what that is, the tragedy of the commons? You're not? Okay. Boston Commons, colonial period, somebody's grazing some sheep on it. A bunch of families are. So one family decides they're going to double their number of sheep. So pretty soon the rest of the families say, well, he can double his sheep, I'm going to double my sheep. And pretty soon there's too many sheep for the commons, the grazing area, and it gets destroyed. It's called the tragedy of the commons because nobody's managing the commons. And we have a commons situation here, which is all Oregonians, and there's no way to manage the commons in the current processes, as near as I can tell. So limited resources. And the third one, conversation design, I think the committee approach reinforces